उत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नाशप्रायश्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत्सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। So today we are continuing reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, entitled Creation, Chapter 16, entitled How Parikshit Received the Age of Kali, text number 23. Yadvambute Bhuri Bharavatara यद्वाम्बुते भूरि भरावतार कृतावतारस्य हरिर्धरित्री अन्तर्हितस्य स्मरति विसृष्टा कर्माणि निर्वाण विलम्बितानि Word for word meanings. Yadva, that may be. Amba, O mother. Te, your. Bhuri, heavy. Bhara, load. Avatara, decreasing the load. Krita, done. Avatarasya, one who incarnated. Hare, of Lord Shri Krishna. Dharitri, O earth. Antarhitasya, of him who is now out of sight. Smarati, while thinking of. Visrishta, all that were performed. Karmani, activities. Nirvana, salvation. Vilambitani, that which entails. Translation. O Mother Earth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, incarnated himself as Lord Shri Krishna just to unload your heavy burden. All his activities here are transcendental, and they cement the path of liberation. You are now bereft of his presence. You are probably now thinking of those activities and feeling sorry in their absence. Translation, please repeat. O Mother Earth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, incarnated himself as Lord Shri Krishna just to unload your heavy burden. All his activities here are transcendental, and they cement the path of liberation. You are now bereft of his presence. You are probably now thinking of those activities and feeling sorry in their absence. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The activities of the Lord include liberation, but they are more relishable than the pleasure derived from nirvana or liberation. According to Srila Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the word used here is Nirvana Vilambitani, that which minimizes the value of liberation. To attain Nirvana, liberation, one has to undergo a severe type of tapasya, austerity. But the Lord is so merciful that He incarnates to diminish the burden of the earth. Simply by remembering such activities, one can defy the pleasure derived from Nirvana and reach the transcendental abode of the Lord to associate with Him, eternally engaged in His blissful loving service. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Nidati Sva Padantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Nangayate Girim Yat Kripata Mahamvande Shri Gurum Dinitaranam Vansha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here we see there is a conversation between Dharma, who is represented by a bull, and Mother Earth in the form of a cow. And this discussion is very important. We can see so many important philosophical points discussed here. So now such a discussion is so important for everyone to understand, but for non-devotees it's very hard to comprehend that there is a bull in the form, you know, who is representing Dharma, and then there is a cow, you know, this whole earth can be, you know, seen as a cow, a living entity. Generally we think of earth means we are dead matter, but it's not the fact. Fact is that earth is also a person, and she has feelings. Person means feelings. So if there is a harm caused to a conscious person, there is pain. So there is so much deforestation, mining, they are making roads, you know, cutting down, you know, different, so many trees for paper and so on. And modern, so-called modern man thinks that is advancement, but it's not actually. Causing pain to someone, it's not advancement. Advancement means you are happy and then you spread happiness. Advancement means advancement of happiness, not advancement in pain. So now there is so many weapons are there which can cause you more and more pain basically. So this is not actual advancement. So that's why it's very difficult for people to understand these subtle philosophical points, that how Mother Earth can, you know, is like a cow and Dharma is like a bull, and they are having this important conversation here. So this requires some faith. So by associating with devotees we can get this faith. So without faith, it just looks like, you know, it sounds like a story. And stories, yeah, we hear this story, that story, and then we forget. So people go to movies, it's like a nice story. Some script writer has written that story because he has a fertile brain, so there are, he can grow many things there and they come up with different stories. So many novels are there, fiction novels, so much in the magazines. So all these stories are given and people read them and forget them and waste their human life. But these stories given here are very important. So it requires some faith and good fortune. By associating with devotees, one gains this good fortune. It is said, Brahman Brahmite Kon Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. So one can wander here and there in different species of life, different universes. So Kon Bhagyavan Jeev, some fortunate soul. So that's how we get bhakti, that if we are fortunate, then we come in contact with a devotee, and then Guru Krishna Prasade, by the mercy, prasad means mercy, so by mercy of Guru and Krishna, so that person, that devotee who directs us towards Krishna, first time or continuously, so that person is our Guru. So by this team of Guru and Krishna, they form this team for benefit of conditioned souls. So then, by their mercy, then we can understand these subtle, important points. So one time, Prabhupada asked, okay, which one is the most important verse? So different devotees were saying different verses. Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam Eva Kevalam. And many devotees, he kept saying no, no, no. And then ultimately, on many occasions he did that, he stressed importance of many verses, but on this occasion, this particular occasion, he stressed the importance of this verse from Shvetashvatara Upanishad, which says, Yasya Deve Para Bhaktir Yatha Deve Tatha Guru Tasya Ite Katita Yartha Prakashante Mahatmana. So this verse actually tells us that how these subtle points are revealed, how we can understand the importance of these stories or these facts, these histories given in Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is by, if one has implicit faith on Guru and Krishna. So if we have implicit faith on Guru and Krishna, then we can understand the importance of these facts and we can apply in our life. Otherwise we would be seeing something but not seeing at the same time, because we won't understand the importance of it. So that's why when we say, oh, follow the instructions of spiritual master, follow the instructions of spiritual master, but spiritual master keeps giving instructions, we don't follow all of them. Why is that? Because we don't understand the importance of those instructions. Because spiritual master is so advanced, Prabhupada is so advanced, they can see, okay, if this conditioned soul does this activity, attend morning program, read these scriptures, then you can easily go back to Godhead. But we cannot see the importance, and then we neglect those instructions. And then the result is also very clear. We suffer. So to the degree we follow the instructions of spiritual master and Krishna with faith, to that degree these secrets would be revealed. Prakashante Mahatmana. So Mahatma is one person who is a great soul, who follows these instructions. And to such a soul, Prakashante, so that it would be within the heart, Krishna will light up this lamp. He says, Teshan, Tesham, Evanukampartam, Aham Agyana Jamtama, Nashyam Yatma Bhavasto, Gyan Dipena Bhashvata. This is the last verse in Chatur Shloki Bhagavad Gita. So these four verses of Bhagavad Gita are most important. The whole philosophy of Bhagavad Gita is there within these four verses, which are chapter 10, verses 8 to 11. So the last verse Krishna says, one who engages in bhakti process, then what happens is, from within the heart he lights up this lamp, because there is ajnana jam tamaha. There is a darkness of ignorance. So Guru and Krishna, what they do, they light up this torch of knowledge and within the heart, and then things become very clear, we can see. Otherwise we are always bewildered by this external energy. This external energy bewilders us. But when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and other important books, so what happened, it just lights up. There's a light and we can see how Maya is working. So this is the very simple thing, but we have to apply it in our lives. So everyone is ultimately after happiness. We want happiness, but we don't want temporary happiness. Everyone wants permanent happiness, but they are baffled in their plans, in their activities. Everyone is seeking happiness. They want to earn more money, have house, relationships. So ultimately they want happiness, but they are temporary. So what we want is ananda, but permanent. So that's why, so what's the word for permanent bliss? That's nityananda. Nityananda. Nityananda Prabhu is there with us. So if we surrender to Nityananda Prabhu, we can get Nityananda, or the steady happiness actually, with a mood to serve Him. So if we, He is Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no difference between Nityananda Prabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is said that Nityananda Prabhu is just like another body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They are not different. We cannot separate them. They are always together. We can see they are always together, God and I. So when we approach Nityananda Prabhu, there is a song also. Narottama Baraduki Nityananda Korosuki. Something like that. So that Narottam Das Thakur says that, I am very unhappy. I am suffering from material miseries. Oh Nityananda Prabhu, please, please help me. Please give me some happiness. Like that. So that's, everyone is after this permanent happiness. So when we approach Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, we can see that how we can access this storehouse of ananda. Anandam buddhi vardhanam. So this ananda is actually, it's like ocean. This ocean of bhakti. And when we do this service, when we chant Hare Krishna, we dance, we serve the devotees, serve Krishna, so then anandam buddhi vardhanam. So this ocean increases. Vardhanam means just increases. There is no limit to that ananda. But at the moment, the ananda is very limited. And here in purport, Prabhupada says that the pleasure derived from even nirvana, one can defy the pleasure derived from nirvana and reach the transcendental abode of Lord to associate with Him. So in Nectar of Devotion it is stated there are three types of happiness. One is happiness you derive from material activities. So that is temporary, we know. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita, Dukhalayam Ashashvatam. Ashashvatam means temporary. It's temporary. And ultimately material world is full of miseries. So here and there you get a drop of so-called happiness. So that's not real happiness. So first one we reject it. Okay, so the first type of happiness, we don't want to base our life's activities just to obtain this temporary happiness of eating, sleeping, mating, defending. So what is second type of happiness? That is Brahmananda, the happiness of liberation. And that is also actually considered very little as compared to this third type of happiness, which is the happiness which comes from performing loving devotional service to Krishna. So that's like a big ocean which always increases. And in comparison, the Brahmananda is just like a drop of that ocean. So there is no comparison between a drop and the whole ocean. And that too, that ocean is Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam, that's increasing. So there is an increasing ocean of bhakti and then there is one drop. So there is no comparison. So here, it is said, it's a verse from first chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela. So there it says that how we have to pray to Nityananda Prabhu to access this ocean of bhakti. So here it says, Sankarshana karana toyashai garbodashai chapayobdishai sheshasya yasyam shakalasa nitya nandakhi rama sharanam namastu. May Sri Nityanand Ram be the object of my constant remembrance. Sankarshan, Sheshana, and the Vishnus who lie on the Karana ocean, Garbha ocean, and ocean of milk are his plenary portions and the portions of his plenary portions. So, original personality of Godhead, as we know, is Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, and his first expansion is Balram, that is Lord Nityananda. And then further expansions come, the Chaturvyuha, Narayan, and further we get the three Vishnus. So that's what's described here. So we take shelter of Nityananda Ram, who is Balram, and when we understand that all these Vishnus are his expansion, then we can actually approach them and pray to them. So why I thought this was important was, we'll see that how this discussion between Dharma and Cow is there. We'll see how actually when this Mother Earth, she was distressed, she approached Lord Brahma. We'll see that. So here, first we see these Sankarshan, that's another name for Balaram or Nityananda Prabhu. So here in that verse, Sankarshan, Karshan means one who attracts. Same, we see the word Krishna. Krishna means all attractive. So this attractiveness is there in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when we are actually attracted by these beautiful attributes, then we can get real happiness. So here we see Nityananda Prabhu expands into these three Vishnus. So the first Vishnu, Karano Dakshai Vishnu, he lies down in the ocean which is called causal ocean or Karanjal. And then further from his pores, there is different universes come out from his breathing, when he breathes out, and from his pores. So it is said actually that's the original form of that's the original activity that's happening with Vishnu, and we can see the perverted reflection in this material world. So when we have this perspiration, that's like a perverted reflection of universes coming out of pores of Mahavishnu. So in material world everything is dirty. So we have to cover it up. That's why there are so many companies that make deodorants, roll-ons, and so many things. You just spray, and before I became a devotee, I used to live with other friends, so-called friends, housemates. So one of them, he used to take shower, and after coming out of shower, he used to take like for 30 seconds, he would spray himself with the deodorant. I was not even a devotee, and I used to think, oh, this is crazy. It's like, that's like chemical. You purify yourself with water and then you contaminate. Just like an elephant, you know, bath of an elephant. An elephant takes bath, purifies itself, comes out and rolls, you know, puts dust, mud on himself, you know. So in this material world, everything is dirty. This body is filthy. If we don't clean it, it will stink within one day or within half a day. So we have to see. And people become proud of their beautiful bodies, strength, muscles, but actually it's so dirty. But here we can see original beauty is in Krishna. So this Mahavishnu, he lies down in causal ocean, and as his perspiration, these universes come, and then he expands in, within the universe. He enters as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and also there as well, actually, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, when he's there, it's a closed shell. The universe is a closed shell. He feels the warmth, and there's perspiration, and half of the universe fills with perspiration of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and then he lies down on Anantashesh there. And then he further expands into Karanodakshaya Vishnu, who lies down on the in the ocean of milk. So here it says Payobdishai, so that is Karanodakshaya Vishnu. He is lying down on the ocean of milk. So there we see when in Krishna book, actually, I'll just read a short passage. This is from first chapter of Krishna book. This is how Krishna book starts. So this is the first paragraph, how it starts. Once the world was overburdened by the unnecessary defense force of different kings, who were actually demons but were posing themselves as the royal order. At that time, the whole world became perturbed, and the predominating deity of this earth, known as Bhumi, went to see Lord Brahma to tell of her calamities due to the demoniac kings. Bhumi assumed the shape of a cow and presented herself before Lord Brahma with tears in her eyes. She was bereaved and was weeping just to invoke the Lord's compassion. She related the calamitous position of the earth. And after hearing this, Lord Brahma became much aggrieved, and he at once started for the ocean of milk, where Lord Vishnu resides. Lord Brahma was accompanied by all the demigods, headed by Lord Shiva, and Bhumi also followed. Arriving on the shore of the milk ocean, Lord Brahma began to pacify Lord Vishnu, who had formerly saved the earth planet by assuming the transcendental form of a boar. So here it says how Earth, Mother Earth, she approached Brahma, and then all of them approached Kshirodakshaya Vishnu at the bank of ocean of milk. And previously also, Lord had saved Mother Earth in the form of Varaha Avatar. When Earth had fallen down at the bottom of Garbhodak ocean, Lord came as Varaha Avatar, dived into the ocean and picked her up on his tusks. So here it says that if we don't approach Lord, we cannot actually get happiness. We can try all our different tricks and try to, you know, make different plans. So ultimately, liberation, what does liberation mean? Liberation means liberated from these miseries and getting happiness, getting out of this cycle of birth and death. So this verse from Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. So that verse shows the liberated condition. What is liberation? Brahma Bhuta. The Brahma Bhuta stage is the liberated stage. Prasannatma. At that stage you are happy. Prasanna. Happy. Na shochati na kangshati. There is no hankering, no lamentation. Sama sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktir lakte param. So then you see all living entities as equal. There is no hankering, lamenting, and then you can get bhakti. You know. So this happiness of liberation, prasannatma. So as we were discussing this, just like a drop. Mad bhakti labhate param. So param bhakti, this unalloyed devotional service, is the real platform of happiness. So we don't have to go through liberation, through Brahmanand, and then the ananda of bhakti. We can directly engage in this beautiful hearing and chanting process. And for devotees, they are already liberated. Bilva Mangal Thakur, he prays that mukti, this liberation in personified form, is she is standing at my doorstep ready to serve me, but he says I'm not interested because he's busy in performing devotional service. So that's why this platform of liberation is also not the highest platform. Highest platform is bhakti platform. At liberation platform there is a danger. If you just want liberation from problems, you want peace, om shanti, then there is a problem. Because we become bored in that situation. So this is another verse where it's described that if we are liberated, so here it says, O lotus-eyed Lord, although non-devotees who accept severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position may think themselves liberated. And that's one thing. To get to this liberation platform where there is no miseries, no hankering, lamenting, you see everyone as equal and you are at peace with everything. If you want to reach to that platform, then it's very hard. So, āruya krichrena paramparam parampadam tada. That this is very hard. You have to do severe austerities and penances to reach to that platform. But bhakti process, we can see it's enjoyable from the beginning. You take prasad, dance, you know, associate with devotees. It's very enjoyable because that's the original position. So this other processes of austerities, penances and severe types of meditations, it's very hard to perform. And ultimately the goal of those processes are also to reach to bhakti. So why not straight away, you know? Like, you know, you have to go to 100th floor. So you can take the stairs or you can take the express lift, you know. An intelligent person would take express lift rather than, you know, going through stairs or climbing on the wall or with a rope to 100th floor. It's not practical, so all these things. And even if one reaches this liberation platform, it says they think that they are liberated because their intelligence is impure still. They fall down from their position of imagined superiority because they have no regard for your lotus feet. So unless we have this personal conception of Lord, we cannot be established in our original position. So in Srimad Bhagavatam it's described there are five types of liberation, out of which the liberation that we are not interested is called Sayujya Mukti or Ekatvam, in which, you know, you merge with the light. So one may be able to do that, but in that what happens is you lose your individuality and there is no relationship, no service. So then no activity. So you are free from material miseries, but it becomes very boring there. So that's why Vaishnavas or personalists, they don't want such type of liberation. But there are four other types of liberations that personalists may accept. So what are those? Salokya Sarishti Samipya Sarupya. So these four, that you can go to the same planet as Lord, or have same opulences as Lord, have same form as Lord. You can go, you can live, reside near, in close proximity to Lord. So, a personalist and the most intelligent person may accept all these. Diyamanam nagrinanti mat vina mat sevanam jana. So an intelligent person, he may, diyamanam means one may give him an opportunity that, okay, here's liberation. You get free from all problems, no worries, and no birth, death, disease, old age, no, nothing. So one may approach us with this offer that, okay, take this, diyamanam na grinanti. But an intelligent person does not take that offer, does not accept it. He puts one condition only, vina mat sevanam jana. So what he says, I will accept that offer if after getting that liberation I would have opportunity to serve the Lord. So that's the consideration of personalists, of devotees, that liberation or not, we are liberated or not liberated, that doesn't matter. What matters is that we have opportunity to serve Lord. So that's the main important thing. So that's what's described here, that just by doing that we can eternally be engaged in blissful loving service. So that's Nityananda, blissful loving service, eternally. So that's what we aspire for We want eternal happiness, and that's only possible when we engage in this devotional service. And here it says, Prabhupada says in purport, simply by remembering such activities, one can defy the pleasure derived from nirvana. Only just by remembering, not even performing, just by remembering, it's so powerful. So these spiritual things are very potent. If you perform, of course there is an effect, but even if you just remember or meditate on them, there is an effect, because they are absolute in nature. So there is this example given in Nectar of Devotion, where there was one Brahmana in South India, in a place called Pratishthanpur. So this story is given in Brahma Vaivarta Purana, that so he was not very financially well to do, but he was a great devotee. He used to go to Bhagavatam classes like these and attend them. So one time he heard in that class what we discussed today. So he heard that just by remembering these devotional activities, spiritual activities, you get the same benefit. So he thought, oh, that's a very good idea. So he went back, and from that day he started meditating every day. So he would, because he didn't have much money, but he said in mind everything is possible. So he started imagining that, okay, there is this deity of Lord, this figure of Lord, and he started decorating the Lord with very expensive clothing, jewelry, different ornaments, jewels and everything. And then he would clean the temple nicely, and then in silver, golden pots he would go and bring water from. He used to sit down at the bank of Godavari River in South India, but he would imagine that he would take water not only from that river but from other rivers, Ganges, Yamuna, Kaveri, like that, and he would bring the water for serving Lord. So he did that for many years, and one day he thought, I should prepare some sweet rice for Lord. So he, in his mind, he imagined, he prepared the sweet rice. But it is said that sweet rice, it tastes best when it's cold. So now he had just cooked it, so he wanted to let it cool down and then offer it to the Lord. So he was waiting. So then he, after some time, he thought, oh, let me check if it's cool enough to be offered. So he put his finger in the sweet rice, and it was hot, and it burned his finger in his imagination. And suddenly he came out of his meditation, and he saw his finger was actually burned. And he was amazed. And Lord, in the spiritual world, when he saw that, he immediately called for him. But the main point described in this story is that how Lord is so personal that even just by meditating, you can get the same result. But the only problem is, in this iron age, this Kali Yuga, meditation is not easy. When we sit, our mind is so disturbed, we cannot sit quietly with a calm mind even for 1 minute. That's why all these things are, other things are required, okay, associate with devotees, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, deity worship, so that it purifies and calms down our mind, and we can actually meditate nicely. Even then, when one has a clear mind, he can meditate wherever. If you are in city, you're going in tram, train, wherever you are, you can perform this meditation. But first we need some purification. So all these activities in temple and other places that are described, that we perform, they are to purify us, so that we can ultimately just think of these spiritual activities, and in that way we can have real pleasure. So by understanding that ultimately we need happiness, so we can be happy only when we give happiness to the Lord. Because it's very logical that God is the whole. If you just see by logic, okay, God is whole and I am part. So if we please the whole, the part is also pleased, right? But if you just try to please the part, then there is no pleasure. And the beauty is that when you please the whole, not only you are getting pleasure, everyone else is also getting pleasure. If you love Krishna, You are loving everyone. Yesterday a devotee was asking me about something. He's Grihastha devotee, nice devotee, does service, but just he had some point. So we were discussing this. So he was saying, okay, I do this activity so to increase my love for my wife. So then we were discussing this same point, that ultimately if you single out one person, okay, I want to please this person, love this person, then that won't be actual the real love, you know. But if you base your life in giving great pleasure to the whole, then all the parts will be happy and you can love all the parts perfectly, you know. So that's our point. So we try to please the Lord by these prescribed methods given in these texts. And many people have, in history, they have benefited greatly. So we'll just follow their footsteps. So I'd like to end there and ask if you have any quick questions or comments on what we discussed. Question is that we just discussed that how by serving the whole we can please everyone, but still some people are inimical, they are atheists and they say, oh, they are not pleased with what we do. So how is that? So the thing is, they don't have intelligence, you know. It's just like a child, you know. A child mother says, okay, take this cereal. But the child is not pleased. No, I just want chocolates, only chocolates, lollies, that's it. And he's not pleased, he cries, right? But mother is patient, parents are patient, they still keep working on giving intelligence in different ways. I was hearing a lecture, they used to be, in USA, there used to be an advertisement for a cereal, and the mother would try to give the spoon of cereal to the child, and the child would, you know, just say no. So every time in every different ad, they would show the mother applying a different tactic, so to somehow put that spoon in child's mouth. Mm-hmm. So first she would give straight, okay, whatever. John, take this cereal. No. Then she would glorify, oh, this cereal is very nice, oh, so nice, oh, please take this one. He would say no. So then different things like that. So as devotees, we try to serve Krishna, and when we approach people with experience and practice, we become so expert, we know how to give the medicine to a particular person so that he is pleased and not inimical, you know. So a person who is straight away very inimical, and we just try to ignore them for time being. We don't hate them, but for time being, you know, they are not ready. But we are working for their pleasure actually. So one day they would understand. So ultimately they would be pleased. Bigger picture. Of course they cannot be immediate. Okay, we serve Krishna, everyone is happy, whole world goes back to God. It doesn't happen like that. So in the prison, you know, it takes time for reform and for others. But ultimately, they would be. Anything else?
Hare Krishna. On the same point, the Prabhupada used to say, sir, you are very guilty. You are very nice. So often, why don't you take this as the mother is here?
Yeah.
My mother will say, all right, if you do this,
One day.
Hare Krishna. On that point, you say, you used to live with that person who used
strength.
I have the similar experience with my husband. Like, he would take a bath, 15-20 minutes long bath, then come out, and probably 1.5 minutes, 2 minutes, full devotion, full body. And then he would smoke cigarettes.
So first he would take shower, purify himself, then come out, spray all the chemicals, contaminate body from outside, then smoke, contaminate from inside, then watch different things contaminate the mind. Yeah, that's like